Good afternoon, friends, and tonight in prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, and we thank Thee that we can work in spirit and truth. Thank Thee for the abiding presence which You have granted unto us that would remain with us always. For the retention in this time of Thy Word. For the guidance of Thy Spirit that we might understand it. We are thankful, our Father, that out of the patterns of the endless yesterdays, that You can bring to our consciousness and awareness of the things we are to know, that You can lead us into the view of tomorrow through the processes of Thy Spirit and the mysteries of Thy purpose. We're thankful that the spiritual center of Thy kingdom is eternal, Thy church, that Thy household and the people that constitute Thy family in the earth are eternal, and that Thy nations are also in the purpose which You have purposed to be established forever, that no power, no force of evil can destroy them. So in this hour, as we survey these things through which we pass, as we look into the purposes which You have outlined, grant us to think and to know what a relationship in truth is with Thee. Cause us to know the difference between true religion and that which is false. Teach us the things which are important, and cause us to understand that the key to the mysteries of Thy kingdom is to discover the relationship with Thy mind and Thy will and Thy people. So we pray for our nation. We pray for the awakening of Thy household, the fulfillment of Thy purposes in the earth. Committing ourselves to Thy hand, saying, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we ask it. Amen. We turn this afternoon to the subject, knowledge of all truth. It's significant that we properly analyze our relationship as the children of God and the household of God to God's purposes for us in the earth, and to area what we might refer to as true religion. I think this is very important this afternoon because we are engaged not only in a program of survival as a race, but those of us who are aware of what is transpiring as Christian Americans are vitally concerned in the survival of our nation as a nation. In fact, I was glancing over an editorial that had been recently produced on the book of Eisenhower's concerning the mandate for change. And in the process of the editorial on a mandate for change, it was attempting to analyze one of the great problems that face us, and that is that there are so many people that will not accept the fact that the majority of people in the world today and in America are giving their officials in government a mandate to change from what our founding fathers created and what was considered to be the basis of our society, which they say is antiquated, outmoded, and no longer capable of functioning and working properly, into a type of government, into a type of way of life that will provide security and provide expansion, development, education, and economic security, but in this process, never caring a whit by how they arrive at this destiny, the mandate for change is coming from the masses of people to secure the end result, whether they participate in the administration of it or not. And so under this statement it said, just think of all the people that are dragging their heels against these great areas of progress that will be made among all men, among all religions, among all races. And the mandate is coming from the masses because they know what they want and they don't care what kind of a system politically, by name or by identity, they receive it under just so they get it. And this because they have built up this concept in their minds and are trying to sell it to the rest of America, that those that are not willing to accept this mandate for change or will not give their assent to this process of change and are withholding, therefore, their mandate in it, are actually, therefore, holding back the programs of progress, never established as progress by experience, and never established that it will do anything but produce unequaled chaos in the earth. In fact, as I read the material and the substance of the article and know the background of the volume for which it was commented on, we are faced with the fact that today everything upon which they were basing their mandate for change, upon the development of world organizations which were going to extend civilization to Africa and to the ends of the earth, they were going to produce not only greater resources, greater production, a new and higher developed science, a great freedom from every problem in the whole human race, because people just surrendered the authority for an elite company to go ahead and do all this for them. They're supposed to know more, think faster, and have more wisdom and understanding than anybody else on the face of the earth.
But you know, I have looked at the faces and the countenances of some of this elite company. And I don't want to pledge my destiny in their hands. I wouldn't want the destiny of my dogs in their hands. There is no question that in our time, therefore, that hinge to this is an appeal. And the propaganda waves going across America today and throughout the world are making an appeal. They're trying to make an appeal to the soul of man. That they must learn to trust, irrespective of the past performances of the people they are to trust. That if they are not willing to grant, therefore, an unrestricted and unrestrained trust to the areas of their fellow men, they are therefore destroying, breaking down the great programs of development, and that God, with His infinite love, wants all men to love with the same infinity, so I trust all men, never doubting, never having any question concerning the fact that such an area of energy will produce nothing but good. And that this is a super religious aspect, that this is internationalism making a super religious appeal. What super religious appeal is to find the highest level of morality coming out of the soul consciousness based on the highest principle in the universe, which is love, as God demonstrates it. Only thing, what they're not asking you to demonstrate the love as God ordains it, they're asking you to demonstrate an unnatural pattern of love that causes you to love the very forces that would destroy you on the grounds that you can trust them to do you some good. This afternoon, if we will not preach on this basis, thus saith the Lord, you therefore are classified as ecclesiastically antisocial. But the strange thing is that Christ would be totally unacceptable upon the basis of their appeal this afternoon. We are faced with a decision in the mind and consciousness of men as it relates to a fixation of their philosophy of life. This challenge is a challenge that must reach every area of the Christian church. For the basis of the thinking of a man concerning what he thinks about the earth and life and God and everything that relates to it is his philosophy of life. If it is to possess the mighty dynamic, big and large and forceful enough to accomplish the solution to men's problems, to guide them into the areas of divine development, and to fulfill the destiny which specifically your race has before it, it must be in sequence with God's plan and God's purpose. But this challenge which goes out to us today does not come from the field of God. It is not coming from God, though it comes from areas that claim to call their inspiration from God's. I hear continuous quotes from Buddha, from Confucius, and from philosophers, and from some agnostics. One moment they're quoting the poet Thoreau, and another moment they're quoting Russell, and the next moment they're quoting Confucius. If you went down through life taking out all of the sentences of prose that frame up little glimpses of poetic beauty, you could find it in the flowers, and you could find it in the forest, and you can find it in the creation. And when you get through, all the things that were beauty were what men were describing that God said, did or has accomplished. But don't think for one moment that because there are areas of narration which descriptively apply to what men see as they observe the universe they live in, that all the functions and philosophies and advocacies of concepts of deity, processes of religion, or poetic philosophy, which can even come out of the mouth of a socialist, has the answer and solution to human problems. What we are faced in with this afternoon is, as white Christian Americans, now we're going to specify that because that's what we are consisting of in this auditorium this afternoon, and I'm not speaking in watts, and I haven't lately been in China. And I'm speaking to you as Christians. I am making no attempt at appeasement or acquiescence to any other area of theology, to any other concepts of deity. I am presenting this factually to you as Christians. You derive the authority of your religion in the areas of written revelation from the book we here call the Bible and numerous pieces of history and theology plus a great number of inspired areas of documents, books, scrolls, and articles, which you believe or have been taught to believe have been inspired by God, passed down upon your race, and are today the foundations for the areas of your theology. If, therefore, we are to accept that the Bible was an authority, still retaining within our consciousness the ability to weigh the accuracy of Scripture, which has been subject to handling and translations, ecclesiastical bending and twisting with various versions, but not able with all of these processes to obscure the mighty authority of the pattern of divine revelation that crops out in all versions and establishes a great flowing divine program. If this afternoon you are a Christian, intend to retain your identity as a Christian, and are not being persuaded by the areas of world influence to surrender Christianity as not sufficient or incomplete, you are therefore forced to accept that the basic content of this narrative is true. On the basis of this, therefore, we are forced to recognize that no area in the general tendency of world direction, as it is being applied through the programs of world government coming out of a union with nations that are non-Christian, or peoples that are pagan, or races that lack the capacity to govern themselves, let alone govern you, that on the basis of the content of this book, you must reject, repudiate, and not associate yourself in the area of acquiescence or assent to the trend of what today is called the trend of the world order, which they call a mandate for change. I point out to you that the most important thing that you can possess is truth. Not just a little truth, but total truth. There will always be those that say that we know in part, we will never possess total truth, because we cannot in our finite capacities understand it. But if you can understand the things that relate to truth as it relates to your dwelling in the physical world, then, my friends, that's all you need to know to dwell here right. I listened to an area of religion that was propounded as high spirituality that was spending so much time telling us about getting ready to go to heaven, telling us how we had to get adjusted and adapted to dwell there. Didn't tell us anything about the earth, and all of this was supposed to be revelations of truth, but they didn't have one Bible quote that they could found their description of the celestial realms on, or what was the requirement for you and I to be able to dwell there. Now, there isn't any question about spiritual revelation. There's more spiritual knowledge in this room than you and I have any capacity at this moment to totally appreciate. Every spirit that dwelt here has been with the Father before the world was framed and was capable of perceiving and understanding the things that were in its realm while it was there. It's only been the graciousness of the Father that pulled this veil of the full patterns of that plane down over your consciousness when he put this spirit that is you inside this physical body. You wouldn't even be happy to stay here if the full pattern of remembrance were now dawning on you as to the dimensions from whence you came and the conditions as it relates to the perception of existence in that dominion. For it was dominion without pain and without problem for celestial children who were begotten of the light and who were the children of the Father. But I tell you that the importance of what we call religion, which is the relationship and the adjusting force which has been provided in the pattern of God by responsible activity, by areas of perception, and by areas of conduct, to adapt and adjust his children down here in bodies of flesh to do the job he put them down here to do. And if religion is not relating to adjusting you and to bringing you into a working relationship with God in truth for the job he put you in the earth to do, then, my friends, it's a rather foolish thing, and it's not going to get you anywhere at all. We are faced with the fact that the design of Lucifer is to make all of religion today contemplative religions. You say, don't you believe it's good for men to think? I believe it's good for men to think in relationship to purpose. I think it's good for them to commune and to receive spiritual power and wisdom for a specific task. I think for men just to abstractly commune with nothing is just another way of sleeping. I think some people are seeking a kind of serenity as an escape from reality. What we need is power in reality to be triumphant, not an escape from reality that's incomplete. I notice that never has there been as many oracles appearing among Christianity than as there is now. And these oracles are appearing in many denominations, and we're told this is a new high area of development inside of the church. And these people are being told, listen, my children, just contemplate me. And the resulting situation is that I have consumed a little time listening and reading over what they have been receiving. And all they talk about is just consider the light. Consider me. You're my friends. Separate yourself from all activity. Separate yourself from everything, and don't worry. You're going to get great knowledge, great wisdom, and I'm going to protect you. And then it starts talking about the beauty of a flower, and then consider this beauty as it relates to me, and then just withdraw yourself from everything that's real and everything that's not beautiful, and you'll be blessed. I have noted that in this tendency, woven into sermons and in messages, there is a wave moving through Christianity of a very subtle design to remove men from reality and to separate them from activity. I note the great majority of these instructions coming to areas where spiritual articles are even attributed to the Holy Spirit are telling men to withdraw, to become secluded, and to separate their consciousness from the problems that are before them that they are to conquer, and then just eventually be absorbed in the light somewhere in some distant nirvana that would accompany the doctrines of Buddhism, the doctrines of Hinduism, or the doctrines of yogiism. I read, came in contact with one pastor of this message that said, God is filling the universe. Behold, I'm everywhere. I'm light. I'm power. I'm in the air you breathe. And the more you breathe, the more you're going to take me in. Well, now the yogis have been telling you that breath is good for you. We know that there's nothing that burns out toxic poisons like oxygen in the human body. And systematic and intelligent breathing exercises are just a little bit of the reaction that a man should provide in his environment when he comes to the knowledge of this. But don't accept your breathing as a religion. Accept it as reality. Let me assure you this. When you take a big breath, you're not absorbing God. You are doing what God would give you intelligence to do. But all of these things are supported as areas of spirituality. We have been probing, lest some would say that we were not giving proper attention to all avenues of spiritual development. Every claim being made today in areas of Christendom to numb some new spiritual attainment or power. I want to tell you this afternoon. We have not discovered one new principle, one new truth that was not clearly unveiled by the Father through the Old Testament and in the New. We have not found anybody off on cloud nine seeking to negate in the area of responsibility that Christians are to have to the world they live in. They haven't come out with one new thing. But the truth is so new to most of them that they have overlooked that which is new to them, because truth would bring it to their consciousness if they would let it. When Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, he didn't say a knowledge of all religions, an acceptance of a worldwide philosophy, an assent that if you apply to this principle or that principle, an emotion which God spiritually develops in you and which by the processes of nature function within you for your family, for your friends, or for your God as you understand it. For there is no higher function of emotional serenity than that of love. There is no greater working force that causes people to sacrifice one for another, or to apply the devotion that makes their life in a home the most vital entity in God's kingdom, or that love that exists in a family and among friends in which they will sacrifice and they will work and they will endeavor one for another. Strangely enough, God developed this as a spiritual quality by the essence of realism. And because of this, under emergencies and under tension and pressure, men of a race and of a kind will sacrifice, will come together, will lay down their lives for the preservation of their species. And the highest pattern of such perception is when God acknowledges not only as author and creator, it is His universe, and that His sons and daughters in the world are His offspring, and He has, by the miracle of the processes of His purpose, transferred a branch of His offspring from heaven to earth. That He has, in the purpose of His creation, created this world and many mothers. That He has created the dwellers that are upon it. And that He has a great creative responsibility. And that as He looks upon all that are His creation, that the magnitude of God's love reaches out to the ends of the creation, to the ends of the earth, and to every creature that has consciousness. And set for that disturbing pattern, which is a part of truth that you must understand, in the rebellious processes of Lucifer and the struggles that have affected a part of the universe and at this present time are affecting you in the environment of earth, that I am going to restore and put it all in order. I'm going to make every knee bow. I'm going to see that everything is put back in its proper place. I have a process with which I'll do this, and I have a reason for doing it this way, and this is what God declares. We, this afternoon, are faced with the reality of being here. We're not faced with a direct responsibility for all the things we find in our environment, but we are related to a direct purpose of God, which places a responsibility upon you as you understand and know. And so this afternoon, when we listen to these words of Jesus, "Ye shall know the truth shall make you free." He then unveiled in the book of John the words that translation cannot obscure, that the pattern of perception, the great illuminating, counseling, comforting force of truth, which emanates out of His own Spirit, can be received by Spirit, which is Spirit of His Spirit and life of His life. And that even in His ministry, as God chose the course by His own purpose and in His own plan to become embodied in earth, born out of your race, identifying Himself, according to the second chapter of Hebrews, with His own kinsmen, and was not ashamed to call you earthlings His relatives, because He knew the Spirit that was on the inside. In the course of such processes, in the pattern of such purpose, He, the Eternal, had identified Himself in earth as God, Creator of the universe, who was before all things, by whom all things were made, and clearly identified that His purpose was not to stay in the world at this time, having consummated a definite appointment in destiny, while His enemies thought they were destroying Him, working out of the negation of their concepts in their world order. He not only maintained a standard, identified the enemy, participated actively in their repudiation, and even used what we might classify as violence at times to demonstrate His opposition to evil working among men as He drove them off of the steps of the temple. I point out to you that with all of this process, He was to lift off of those that were His sons and daughters for all time their restraining guilt complexes, lift off of them their responsibilities of error perceived and sometimes not totally understood. He was to move out of you the impact that inherited remembrance passes down to all generations of your race, which was the violation of divine law that we call Adamic transgression. I want to clarify this for you this afternoon. There have been those that said, how could a race have inherited the transgression of Adam, and how could Adam's transgression fall upon all men? Because in the chromatin that passes in the mitosis of cell division, there has passed down in remembrance the areas of error and its responsible guilt when it lost its light and glory upon every member of your race. And just as you have inherited the background of their experiences and the sum total of their knowledge, which a awareness or an activation of the cell patterns of your brain could bring into remembrance and focus, you have subconsciously carried with you the areas of this lost power and of this guilt. It is because of this the Father, with one single motion of being embodied with one consummate atonement, lifted from you and for all time the areas of this guilt complex, if you become adjusted in your thinking to receive it. And then stated that it was essential that He was going away. Didn't intend to remain in the body of the earth. The whole universe was His, and the whole universe was being run by this intelligence. And he was going back to central headquarters in his own universe, but his abiding presence could remain with you all the way through this spiritual energy pattern of the consciousness of God, the spiritual awareness of his children, and the maintenance of the essence of being in form, because he filled all things. I point out to you then that this is the reason why in the book of John, though translation in theology sometimes mutates concepts, that Jesus made the statement that he made concerning the fact that he would pray, meditate, direct the energies of spirit into the creative force which was his being, for he was seeing me, I've seen the Father. And this interpretive, perceptive consciousness of the essence of his own thinking being, this energy of force known as spirit, translated here comforter, but actually meant the perceiving consciousness of God. He says he will not only come upon you to abide with you always to quicken your consciousness. I will come unto you. I re-empower you for my purposes. He said, therefore, when the spirit of truth redawns in the seat of your consciousness, where you possess in your spirit the capacity to be guided and instructed by him, it will do these following things. It will establish for you the things that you want to know, for it will teach you all things. It says in the 26th chapter, the 14th chapter of John, it will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. It will bring all things to your remembrance from the beginning. This is not the only statement in this matter. We're over in the 16th chapter of John, still talking about the essence of divine consciousness moving with its personal connection to you. The Father said, it's expedient I go away, for if I did not depart from you, this internal guidance and this spiritual omnipresence would not be descending upon you. So it's essential for the purpose which I have, that my awakened, quickened, conscious sons be not in one place, but all over the world, where as long as I stay here in one corporal body, the fullness of God dwells in this spot, and whereas I move into the celestial realms, and you, my begotten children, spirit of my spirit, life of my life, aware and guided by my spirit, will be over the entire earth. Therefore, it was important to God that you, as empowered sons, carry out the work which God intended for his family to do, and thus he multiplied you as the sand of the seashore, the stars of the heaven, to fulfill this covenant, to accomplish this purpose, instead of having the fullness of God dwelling in one spot and the rest of the offspring of God with the capacities to perform separated from the perception necessary to do it. I point out to you, therefore, that in this direction, he said, when this spirit of truth has come upon you, he not only will guide you to all truth, but he'll show you all things and bring you to the knowledge of all truth. He can bring all things to your remembrance, even things that happened in the beginning before the foundation of the world. The experiences of men like Jeremiah and others prove this. Jeremiah had the activation of his celestial remembrance brought back to the point where he saw vital catastrophes that affected the world long before the creation of the book of Genesis, long before the Adamic race, and he described what was brought back to his remembrance that's in the book of Jeremiah. I could quote various places where we see this capacity of the Spirit. However, what I wanted to bring upon you was this awareness that if you want truth and you seek after truth, if you're going to seek after truth as it is unveiled by God, then you're going to have to accept what he has laid out as blueprint, purpose, and plan as a Christian in the Christian religion. Now, if you are not going to accept Christ, you're not going to accept the identity of the embodiment of God, you're not going to accept that this was the eternal Yahweh or accept Yahweh at all, then fold up this book and go join any pagan cult you want, but let's clear the deck for action. The salvation of America and the preservation of Christian civilization is not going to come by smothering our faith, by joining with error, superstition, and darkness. It is going to return to the oracle of God as he unveiled it by his Spirit, and by the great adjusting spiritual force that moves out upon you because you are a child of his household, and who possess in your capacities the force that makes this world eventually heaven on earth.
I repudiate the mandate for change. If in the interpretation of this mandate for change it asks me to embrace people whose concepts are motivated by gods that are no gods, by superstition, darkness, ignorance, and I repudiate a process of government that God in this book has revealed to me belongs to the forces of darkness and he calls it Antichrist, and on the fear of being classified as antisocial by the world, I will lift up these standards of the cross and the flag and say I would rather be classified as antisocial on a way to victory than to be subordinated into the meaningless mass and blob that would be humanity under evil. When we talk about truth, someone said, how do we come to the knowledge of all truth? You come to it by synchronizing your thinking with God, by the abiding presence of His Spirit, making you know in His purposes. It's because of this that we make this statement this afternoon. The most important things you can know are things that relate to the dimension you're in. If I get off somewhere on some distant planet or some far part of the universe someday, and I find myself lost in a maze of things I need to know, I'm going to inquire of the Father about things that relate to that plane, that dimension, or that planet, but I'm not there yet, and I'm concerned about the program of God for this one while I'm here. And if that's not sound religion, then, my friends, you're never going to get it by turning to the forces of darkness who seek to paralyze men by removing their awareness of their responsibility to the planet while the forces of darkness take over. I repudiate today every oracle, every area of so-called spiritual revelation that does not unveil to man his relationship and help to synchronize him with it for the program of God's kingdom as God outlines it. And I repudiate as a very fallacious area of pseudo-spiritual echelons all areas of revelations and all areas of so-called spiritual guidance that would separate a man from accomplishing the purposes God wants to do and make it easier for the enemy. Let me point this out to you. That if you are going to be a Christian, then be a Christian. There are people today with endless platitudes will say beautiful things about the name of Christ, about Christianity, and about Jesus, even acknowledging His God, even accepting the words of atonement, and at the same time utterly separate themselves from any responsibility in developing or carrying out the program of the kingdom. They are neutralized Christians because they haven't caught yet what is the pattern of God. And what they think is speaking to them is many times a mischievous and familiar spirit operating under the pattern and guidance of Lucifer, who has only one responsibility, neutralize. Now let me point this out. If we want truth, the truth starts with the nature of God. He might have a multitude of identifying patterns and semantics and in sound throughout the universe, but this eternal God of this book is Yahweh. His embodiment of the earth as the Savior is Yahshua. We in English say Jesus. Over in Greece they said Yah-Zeus. But this is Yahweh, the eternal God. He is one God, inseparably and eternally one God. And you are His offspring if you are Adamites, if you are descendants of the household of Adam, and you're not a mongrelized society, you are the offspring of God, which He placed in the earth to build His kingdom. This is what the Bible teaches. And you may study the genealogies of migration and progression. You may come through areas of catastrophe and struggles, battles and wars, as the forces in the world seek to stop you from attaining what God's Word said you were sent here to do, build the kingdom and bring in righteous law. You may discover that because you positively stayed
to this race responsibility and stayed in the area of this religious instruction and worship only this one God, that you became unpopular, you were talked about as hated, and today you're still they still talk about you as people with this race fetish or this God fetish and will not expand to embrace all other gods. No, and never will. Someone said, well, there's no bigger bigot than one that will not change his mind about something. But I'm going to tell you something. There's no bigger fool than one that changes his mind about God. Someone said bigotry is one who will not change his opinion. Then we'll be bigots for truth. And this is a good place to be, because during the periods of the development of this nation, it's well established that it has produced the best. If we know this, we know that the covenants that God made with patriarchs of our race didn't start with Abraham, it started with Adam, was recovenanted with Seth, was unveiled in the house of Noah, but at the same time, while Noah was in the midst of his experiences, the households of Enoch and Job were already relocated on the other side of history and were existing from what we now know as Palestine down into Egypt. And God talked to Enoch and gave him more knowledge than any one man. If we had all the things that Enoch had received today bound and where we could put our thumbs on it and all Christendom possessed it, it would make a tremendous impact on the entirety of Christian theology. Now what God said unto the patriarchs and what he covenanted with Abraham to do and what he maintained by a program of racial separation and segregation as it passed from Isaac to Jacob and to the sons of Jacob and continues even with the marriage of Joseph as he selected his own kind of people. If you come down through the history of the book, you'll discover that truth is summed up also in this relationship that men worship God as they not only demonstrate their appreciation and their love toward him and they seek his guidance and his help, but when they know that they are his offspring and they possess this remembrance and they worship their progenitor who was the creator author of all things, they fulfill then the ordinances and rituals of his command. With what miraculous manifestations and demonstrations he hath brought them forth from Moses upon the mountain till the spiritual experiences of Isaiah, or the revelation of his great space fleets and forces to Ezekiel, or the manifestation of himself as he walked with men and never one spake like this man spake, for this was very God walking with them. In the course of all of this pattern of revelation, one consistently interested in truth will discover that the Spirit will bear witness that no change was made, that through this household and by these people, which were God's progeny, separated, segregated, and selected, chosen and elected, God ordained to bring this planet back in submission to him. With it, its accompanying blessings of synchronization with the greatest area of wisdom that the world could possibly ever understand. That with it would come the breaking of the bands and the barriers that were held over other peoples existing in the earth before you arrived by Luciferian superstition, ignorance, and evil. I point out to you then that other religions that move under the evil phalanxes of Satan's posterity are going to be opposed to you as you reveal the true God, and this book reveals they always have been. I'm going to point out that if you try to preserve racial purity and not mongrelize the physical body, which has to be the receiver for wavelengths of wisdom and energy around its brain tendrils that remembrance puts there by mitosis through genes, chromosomes, and internal chromatin. If you're going to accept the history and the background of scientific evidence in genealogy, you're going to recognize today that this was a very vital reason why God wanted to preserve this race, to preserve this developing culture, this pattern of experience in the seat of human consciousness. When I talk about human, I'm talking about spirit man, for this is what the original word human meant. It meant spirit Adamite. Now these are the things the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches the fulfillment of a great atonement. The Bible teaches the spiritual energizing of areas of command. The sending out of the disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and they swept all the nations and produced Western culture and civilization, and the inspiration and byproduct of their achievement came out of this abiding presence. The greatness that is Western civilization and Western culture today is because of the promise that Spirit would give us these seeds we sought after, that every door we knocked at would be opened.
For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you all things that are good, to keep no wisdom from you, to lead you to the knowledge of all truth. I listened to a Cloud Nine evangelist said, man can't understand the knowledge of all truth that God promised to reveal to them because they're all spiritual things that our physical minds can't understand. Well, my friends, he can't use it then in this physical world, so while he's here, it's not going to do him any good. If I can trust my Father to supply me with what I need to know to get through this physical world, I'm sure my spirit can depend on him to keep that which is committed unto him against any day out in the future where I'll need some spiritual information. Someone said, what is spirit? What is spiritual information? Did you know that how to live according with God's plan for God's objectives of the earth is spiritual information? Because your seat of perception is as high above the earth as the heights of heaven above the orders of physical construction without God's wisdom. What you know and what you have attained, you may say it is His credit and His development. For all that you are and all that you hope to be, you owe unto the great thinking, purposeful consciousness of the Eternal Father. So by these processes that we have a relationship to understand. The Bible teaches this. It teaches that there were forces in the world operated by Lucifer. It taught us unassimilatable people that are called devils, demons, unassimilatable Nephilim. These were in the world. Jesus sought to identify them, and the church understood more about it in those days than a lot of them do now. He pointed out Satan's own children. Said they had a strategy, and the strategy, of course, was to overthrow the kingdom, and the kingdom of God had suffered violence, and the violent had been taking it by storm. And the program of God was the kingdom was going to expand and grow, and one of these days the violence weren't going to take it by storm because the saints of the Most High God, as Daniel said, were going to possess it. And from this time on, violence and unrighteousness would go, and the kingdom would rule with authority. The program of unveiled wisdom through the lips of the prophets was to make known unto you that a struggle for the earth was a part of the final scenes of the closing of an age and the opening of the great new era of a new order. The Bible tells you, not by contemplation of Buddha or Nirvana, not by contemplation of some fetish image, even of your God, that utterly separates you from any reality except looking out for the light to shine, that this, my friends, is not the procedure. But the procedure is to know that we are moving into an hour when we must be aware, must be wise to the processes of the enemy, what he would attempt to do in order to be triumphant. And so therefore God told us, he would not only seek to infiltrate your nations, gain control of your economies, manipulate your systems, gain control of your craft, and unionize all of your industries and hold the power over it, that he would seek to move in into every area of manipulation, and then would seek to take away these great nations which I've founded and absorb them inside of a world government of the Antichrist ruled over by Lucifer and his forces. The scripture tells you this. Now, this isn't the mandate for change. This is the antisocial position, because if you accept what God's outlined in this textbook of drama and of destiny, if you accept what the only true God has outlined, you will repudiate everything today that's being advocated by the advisors to the president when they tell you, go United Nations, go one world, go integration, go mongrelization, because this is evil, cursed of God. It is not hatred, it is divine guided intelligence that causes us to preserve our society and keep it intact. It is not a desire to downgrade any area of people's dwelling in earth that would cause us to want to dwell alone with our families under our civilization and culture to develop our posterity and not expose them to the processes of error prematurely. Nothing is more important than the formative years of a child. And if there are intelligent processes of parenthood, while developing and training that child, they protect that child from the areas of error until the formative periods have set the truth, until he's able to combat it without being swerved. The enemy understands this today, has moved into your nations to utilize schools and areas of teaching, even into the church, to try to shape that child away from God's plan and give him a mandate for change. Someone said, well, we need to change all the time. No, my Father has been the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I like it that way.
I point out to you then that there is no greater responsibility than to carry out the will of God, the purpose of God, the operation of God, according as he hath revealed it here. He has not cited that there will not be more revelation, more documents, more inspiration, that his Spirit will not guide you into truth, but whenever God gives you more, he doesn't destroy the foundations of that which he has confirmed, but he shows you how to accomplish things here described more effectively. I discover whole areas of supported revelation today do not show us how to more effectively accomplish the occupation of the kingdom, but actually separate us from this process and are trying to tell us that our big responsibility is to find a way out of here. I am convinced that before you ever get out of here, there's a whole lot more going to come in, and I'm happy about that. We haven't anything against the universe. There still remains that incessant curiosity, those flickering flames of remembrances that draw one out to the vast depths of that sidereal beauty and cause you to know that you're a part of that as well as this. But every once in a while, as you even contemplate that and find yourself being drawn to the vastness of that universe, you discover that you have not in any sense relinquished the idea that you want to stay here. Until at least you have finished this task and accomplished this objective. We recognize that we are on the edge of the greatest of all knowledge and wisdom revelations. We realize the conquest of death as is assured for tomorrow as any pattern of knowledge that God has guided us in step by step. We're also aware that the enveloping glory of God belongs to your race and will come back upon it. We are aware that in the period of the 1,000 years which are ahead of us of a world rule, that immortality will descend on the house of God. We're aware also that with an accompanying technology that will reach all areas of the staffs within our race that have worked for the preservation of life, the conquest of disease, will come also knowledge on how to knock out the blocks that affect the whole areas of preserved health among the peoples of the world. You know, there are areas also that are very vital for us to understand. We haven't the subject time this afternoon to deal with it. The processes of disintegration and death are also acutely related to areas of memory and to patterns of energy action that affect cells, nerve responses, toxic conditions with their tightening processes that produce the disintegration process in our body. Relieve this and balance and synchronize the awareness of the individual in any dimension, anywhere in the universe, and in this one, in these physical bodies, with the patterns of life, truth, and vitality, and you will have stopped and reversed the disintegrative process. We could establish this for you on half a dozen scientific principles and can prove to you there is no greater power than the power God is going to manifest in his sons and his daughters, which is not only a part of your faith, a function within your race. You can say religious, yes, because you are very definitely, as you are related to God in thinking and action, going to fulfill a religious responsibility. The kingdom of God is not activated, not motivated, and not carrying out its objectives in order to satisfy a punitive policy. It's doing it because of a tremendous drive within it that it cannot resist. There are among our peoples millions who sleep. There are among the agencies that would wage war against the kingdom of God hundreds who are captive mental minions of the forces of power seeking to rule the earth against God. One of the great enigmas are white men advocating the surrender of the sovereignty of their nation, acquiescing to those that have no spiritual guidance, seeking to nullify the great dynamic of our religion or question the authenticity of Thus Saith the Lord, or would seek to make mentally irresponsible in world opinion those that in believing God have carried out the functions and continue to carry them out that leave greatness upon you. All I have to do is take a look at the newspapers of last week and I see
that what was an area of progress towards civilization has been eradicated in the last 20 years by the United Nations. That where peaceful administration under law held down savage reign, today cannibalism destroys not only the white man but massacres themselves by the thousands. This morning's headline in the Los Angeles Times, Negroes massacre 10,000 of one tribe alone. When I read this, I see that all the advocators of a mandate for change have actually been telling themselves that this mass people's mandate for all the things they've promised them that they can't fulfill is a mandate for destruction. Unfortunately, the speed with which things are happening are fulfilling what the scripture said about this hour, and the men and women who believe God are being proved right every day. We don't have to apologize for what we tell you from year to year. We just don't put it all in. There isn't that much time because things are happening even faster. I point out to you that under this process, when I hear a president quoted by one of the leading journalists as saying, "Liberal? I'm more liberal than Eleanor Roosevelt. I'm more liberal than the New Deal itself." And I feel sorry for anybody blinded like this. But I want you to know, in all this enigma of the strange strategy with which we are told that this liberalism is progress, the victory of God's kingdom is assured on the foundations of his own pattern and his own revelation. You know, the salvation of America is going to take place by the hand of God and by the hands of his sons and daughters that still believe his word, that have not delivered themselves into mongrelization and refused to accept the mandates of evil. And it's lots sooner than you think. And every one of you will be delivered whose name has been written in the book, not by taking you away, but by empowering you here. There is no value in added power if it doesn't give you life, vitality, vision, and leadership. If it doesn't produce achievement, there's no wisdom in knowledge if knowledge cannot be used, and there is nothing in the economy of God that he advocates that isn't effectively of value for you. So when you pray every day that you can accomplish it in earth while others are trying to negate you, to draw aside and contemplate the sky. And you say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And I can assure you this, you can leave heaven to God, be sure it's in good hands. One of these days when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall proclaim that he's God, they bring forth that crown of crowns, declare him Lord and Master. In that hour when they crown him Lord of all, you will rejoice and be glad, and you will say that it's worth all the effort, and you will recognize in that hour that the purposes of God are absolute, and the world's going to bow the knee to recognize this too. And you know, they're suddenly going to discover that you're the most popular people in the world. They're not going to say you're antisocial. You're the sons and daughters of the king. You're friends of the ruler. You'll be surprised how the status changes. There are some people that have enough toxics in them, mentally as well as physically, that they think that the status of apparent power is more vital than truth. They may be what's called status seekers. Nothing wrong with seeking proper status under the proper process of law. But my friends, don't just accept the signs of authority as final authority in a world that your father rules. For the law of God emanating out of his creative patterns and his divine pattern is the final revelation of truth as things were made, and is the final victorious delivering impact pattern. What, as you understand this, as you know and apply this, you will discover that all things work within that law of their existence held together by our Father. So I'm going to tell you that to be led to the knowledge of all truth, which will keep you in sequence with this and out of step with the new frontier, and out of step with the enemies of Christ, out of step with the synagogues in America and throughout the world, out of step with African Asia's background, but in step with conquering truth that lifts superstition and darkness, that gives the world civilization and revelation, and makes you always aware that this force is white and Christian, and this is true. If you can't embrace what this book contains in history, in revelation, in destiny, then, my friends, you will have to sadly either go uninformed, turn to the areas of error, but this will still come forth victorious.